good morning. I'm so used to doing that. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a 2 o'clock show. I always do them in the morning. Today's at 2 o'clock, so we can accommodate our guest today, who happens to be Nicole Kirby, who is the president of the NSPRA, the National School Public Relations Association. She's also the director of communication services for Park Hill School District in KCMO. I can't believe I said good morning. And, of course, we have Barb Hunter here, who's the executive director of NSPRA as well. So it is an afternoon show today. I'm thrilled about that. I'm just taking a drink of water here. Let me clear my throat. There we go. Before we get started, I've got a terrible cold. It's like 10 degrees outside today, max, and then it's going down again here in Maine on this January 11th. So bear with me today. This is a lot of fun. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org, and that's the home website of our Consortium for Equity in Education. You'll like what we do over there. We're actually changing the site around, making it a little bit easier. We now started a weekly newsletter that boils down what we do into easy-to-read chunks, because we know everybody's pressed for time these days, and we wanted to make it a little easier. We also obviously have our magazine over there, Equity and Access, which is just an online journal. You can click right through and read it and enjoy it as we go. And every single podcast we do is archived over there. And there's a link to our new website, which is called SEL Today, Social Emotional Learning, SELToday.org. You might want to go over there. And that's just getting started, but it's pretty cool. We got some great information over there, so please check it all out. Again, everything's over at ace-ed.org. Let me bring my guests on at 1 o'clock in Kansas City. 2 o'clock here, 1 o'clock with Barb. Is Nicole, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, it's Larry here, and it's a pleasure to have you here. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Larry. How are you?
I'm just fine, as a matter of fact. And Barb, you there?
I am here. Yes, Larry.
Hi, Barb. And Happy New Year to you both. We're a few days in, but I can still say Happy New Year. You know?
Happy New Year. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. Nicole, before we get started on these trends in communications for 2022 for school district, I have to ask, how are things at Park Hill School District with all the craziness out there right now?
Well, you know, we are muddling along.
Yeah, everybody
fortunately,
is.
Fortunately, there's still a lot of, you know, great things happening in our classrooms, a lot of teaching and learning. And, you know, we're actually doing much better. Our achievement is higher than you would think, given what going through.
No,
so that's great.
I think it's great.
But we're having our share of interesting challenges as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Like there's 11,999 school districts who are having the same challenges. Okay, it's really it's brutal out there, you know. But you summed it up, and I keep saying this, with all this going on, the teachers that can work, and I know a lot of them are sick, okay, with the COVID and Omicron, but, you know, with the teachers that are working are doing a great job, the administration is doing a great job, the kids still want to learn. And believe me, they will learn, okay? The kids will find a way to figure it out and learn, and with the help of everybody, it's all going to work. So I wish you well out there. And before we go further, just tell everybody, Park Hill School District is in Kansas City, Missouri. So, of course, that begs the question, why isn't it just the KCMO School District? Help.
Well, the Kansas City, Missouri School District is its own entity, and there are a lot of surrounding districts that have part of the Kansas City Metro. It's kind of a large area, and so there's a lot of different school districts that have some of our addresses are Kansas City addresses. We've got in the Park Hill School District, there's 8 municipalities. The largest square footage is actually in Kansas City. But I would say our neighbors in the Kansas City Public Schools just got amazing news today. They have gotten reaccredited by the state today.
Excellent.
And that's been a long road, and as part of the Kansas City community, we're all really excited for them.
Congrats to one of my favorite cities, and it is one of my favorite cities. I used to when I lived in Chicago, I used to love going to Kansas City and eating the good food and going down to the plaza and all that sort of stuff. It's just a favorite city of mine. I know a lot of people I've never been there, and they should be there because it's a great town. It really is. Okay, so you live in a good place. And do me a favor, Nicole. Say hello to Stroud's for chicken fried steak. Okay, please do that for me.
Stroud's
and
is
Arthur,
great, and we're
and
known
Arthur
for a lot of
Bryant,
our good food.
Arthur Bryant's for ribs along with Gates, although I'm more of a Bryant's fan. Okay?
Okay, well,
so just
that's where you fall
that.
In that great debate.
Yes, I do. Yes, I that is. 18th. They're still at 18th in Brooklyn. They used to be years ago, 1,000 years ago. Downtown.
You're going to force me to admit that I'm a vegetarian.
Well, we'll just move on from you and go on to my other guest, and that's all there is to it. Right? Chicken. So that also leaves out chicken fried steak. Okay. And I have to say this. That is probably the worst possible thing you can eat, and there is nothing more delicious in the world. Okay? And I'm from Philly, okay? So I can tell you, I love steak sandwiches and hoagies, but I'll tell you, chicken fried steak at Stroud's is the way to go, along with your cardiologist, the way I suggest you take him with or her with you. Okay, great stuff. Barb, how you doing? What's going on with NSPRA? Give us the rundown real quick.
Oh, my goodness. We're doing great here, and we are just already gearing up for planning for our next annual seminar, which is coming up in July in Chicago.
Oh, good, cool.
And we are ready, full steam ahead, planning and lining up some great content for the seminar. And we're also getting ready for something brand new, which is our first ever President's Summit, which will be held in Kansas City in a few weeks. And that is
that's
where
convenient
Nicole
for
is
the
gonna,
president. That's very convenient
that's
for
exactly
the president.
That's exactly why we designed it. Yep, that's exactly why we designed
Harry
it that
Truman.
Way.
Harry Truman, right, Nicole?
So this is going to be an opportunity to get all of our chapter leaders in from around the country to
That's
have
good.
2 days of intensive professional development about how they can continue to improve leading their chapters. And Nicole is our wonderful host for that.
And she will be great, except for one thing. She doesn't know where the great restaurants are. She goes to the veggie places. Do not let her take you to those places. Okay? You want to go to Stroud's. Right. Trust me.
Okay. That duly noted. Duly
or,
noted.
Or Arthur Bryant. Have Arthur Bryant's deliver. They'll do that. Won't they? I think they will. Nicole,
all right.
Do something.
Well, I'll take you on that debate later.
Nicole will get back to this, but don't go veggie on them in Kansas City. It's a meat place. Okay. That's why they call it a meeting. It's M-E-A-T in Kansas City.
Oh, thanks for clearing that up for me.
You are, there you go. Okay, so none of this veggie stuff, all you NSPRAers. Okay, it's a great town. It really is a great town. All right. I want to talk about school communication 2022. You have all seen how nuts some of these school board meetings are. Okay. And I'm a firm believer in both internal and external good communication for school districts. Okay. That's in the regular year. This is a nutsy year. Okay. So I'll start with Barb. You can pass it over to Nicole if you want. What do you see as the big issues coming up in school communication 2022 this year? And Barb, I'll ask you, but please pass to Nicole if that's what you wish to do.
Yeah, well, I think certainly Nicole will weigh in on this as well. But I do think this ongoing divisiveness in our communities is something that we really need to be able to address in a productive way. And I know school boards across the country are dealing with these issues. We just saw here in Spotsylvania County, Virginia, yesterday or the day before, the new school board chairman fired the superintendent without cause in a public meeting. And it has just gotten out of control in many districts. And I think we educators and ENSPRA and AASA and all the other good people, NSBA, we need to really become much more vocal about the importance of public education and defend it and try and put this restlessness to bed, because it really is dividing our communities.
Yeah, we got to get it back into the hands of the professionals who put the kids, and if I may say this, not politics first. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and that's the key thing. It's education and the kids and their well-being, not politics. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. It's not political. We have to move out of that. Okay, so all that said, Nicole, okay, what are your thoughts about this? You have the job. What's going on? Talk about it.
Well, you know, what's interesting is you were talking earlier about that Omicron surge. As everybody is seeing these increasing numbers, different regions of the country are handling that differently. My state won't allow districts to close down and go to virtual learning. So that's not even an option in Missouri.
Wow.
Other areas are using that as a tool. And, you know, everyone's grappling with these shortages with staffing and substitutes.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of support staff who are pushing into classrooms to help keep our classrooms open, which is a lot of strain on everyone in the building.
And they're not teachers. Yeah. Bless their heart, but they're not trained teachers. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So not only is it not the same experience in the classroom, it also means that we don't have the support services that those people are with us to provide. And we don't have access to those services at these times when we need them most of all. So,
what titles are you talking about when you say that? Are you talking like school counselors, school psychologists, or are you talking literally about
reading specialists, teachers' assistants? Yeah.
Yeah.
All of those.
Wow. And you know, God bless them for having to for doing this. Okay, it needs to be done. Somebody's got to be there with the kids. I'm curious, though, all right, if I have to ask you this, in Missouri, if a child opts or parents opt not to send their kids to school because of the virus, but if it's against the state law regulations to not provide remote, what happens? That's an odd thing.
Well, we work with people on an individual basis, but during the 2020-2021 school year, Missouri allowed what they called alternative methods of instruction extended, AMIX days.
Okay.
And that was to give us the flexibility to do things like have hybrid schedules or other mitigation strategies to try to increase social distancing, and those are not an option in Missouri anymore. We have 5 AMI alternative methods of instruction days total for the year, and those are really intended for snow days.
Wait, so the kids aren't even going to get off snow days? Yeah, there's an alternative method of instruction for a snow day.
Yeah, they get to go virtual on snow days now.
I have to talk to your chief state school officer. Oh, they do get to go virtual on that. So in other words, they have to go to school on a snow day.
At home, yes.
This is terrible news. That's terrible news. Okay, great.
You sound like the fifth graders, Larry.
The joy of a snow day. I just remember when I was a kid and even when I was teaching, is that you suddenly got a day off. It was like a gift. Okay. And that's funny. Of course, I'm only kidding. It's important to talk to the kids. How do you get all these points across to people? Okay, and what are you hearing as the communications director? You're kind of in a hot seat there.
What has changed during all this time is the pace. Everything is coming at us fast, and we're needing to keep people up to date quickly. So the pace has really increased, but the tools haven't changed. So how do we get it out? We get it out in the same way. We have built up over time a lot of tools in our districts for a good two-way communication program. So we're letting them know in all the ways that they've expected. In my district, we have email newsletters and print newsletters, and we have, live streaming of the school board meetings, and we have videos that we put out there. We have social media. So we have all the same tools that we did. but we're having to think about how do we use those in this new time when the amount of information that people need from us and the number of times things are changing has increased so rapidly. So we just have to be cognizant of making sure that people get the information that they need.
Yeah, they really do. And, you know, you just brought up something that really strikes me as interesting. It's that live streaming of school board meetings. And I guess you always had the video. We even have it here in little rural Maine. Okay, there's usually a video on one of the local access stations if people want to watch it, you know, on what's going on. But the parents, since COVID, and I understand a lot of it, have become a lot more active and more vocal, as we all know, okay, no matter which side you're on, in school board meetings. And the live streaming, do you still invite people to attend the school board meeting, or are they not allowed to attend the school board meeting, but it's done virtually live streamed?
In my district and in most districts in our area, they are coming in person, and we're also live streaming them.
Okay. Because I was thinking, you know, if they're live streamed, if I may, it cuts down on the chaos and the arguing, and the school board can do business. And if somebody goes wacko out there, you know, it's live streamed. It's not in person. There's no physical threat or anything like that or feeling of intimidation. Is there any thought to just live streaming them and not letting people in?
Well, they are public meetings.
Yeah, well, they are. But I mean, you're live streaming them.
And that's really up to the board.
Yeah.
Each individual board, you know, makes those decisions.
Yeah, it just might be easier. Yeah.
To answer your question, I do think there are some parts of the country where school board meetings have gotten so contentious that they have reverted back to virtual only, having it live streamed through a Zoom platform or perhaps on, you know, through a TV station. And that has seemed to put the control back in the hands of the school board, but these are in really situations where it has really, really gotten out of control.
Yeah, because it's, forget the politics. A school board has a job to do, and we elect people. They are the voice of the people, all right? So all the people who are screaming and yelling had the opportunity to elect a board. Let that board scream and yell at each other if they like. Okay, I don't advocate that, but they certainly can. But the public doesn't need to be so contentious. Your word contentious was exactly right. I'm just thinking it's a challenge in communication these days. Because,
It is. And I think one of the things that boards are talking about more and more is how to move away from the one-way flow of, like during a public comment period, and introduce some other ways that the public can actually engage and dialogue in a very civil way on issues that are important. And I think a lot of boards are shifting and looking at community engagement. And I mean really really good structured community engagement as an important tool to continue to keep the trust and confidence of their parents and families and employees, but not have the, kind of the spewing of vitriol at the board
ridiculous.
During these meetings.
It's ridiculous. I don't know how or why this has happened to us, and I hope we get rid of it soon. It's just ridiculous. All that said, we're talking about those are all external communications. All right, and of course we want to keep people informed and all that, but there's also internal communications. And you know that Chicago was closed down for the last couple of days. Of course, the teachers didn't want to go in. The school board wanted to keep the schools. You know, it's that kind of a thing. Okay, and it's somehow the communication needs. And we all know this has to be controlled internally as well from top down. Okay, Nicole, talk about that, Madam President. You certainly picked a contentious year to become president. Okay, I hope that Barb told you that you do fly free on NSPRA-1, the private jet. She did mention that.
Yeah, right.
Right. She didn't. That's terrible. Last year she kept it to herself the whole time. So this year, go for the jet, Nicole.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Okay. But seriously, okay, it's a contentious year, but teachers have political opinions too, okay? Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, they have their power, et cetera. How do you control that these years? I mean, by control, I mean, how do you control the flow of information to the teachers so that they can answer the parents in these crazy times? They have to do that.
It's important that we keep our teachers in the loop and that we listen to them, and that that needs to be part of the process. This is a having a good relationship with individual employees as well as the groups that represent them is really important, especially during these higher stakes times. So making sure that we all are trying to, you know, be on the same side when and we understand that the enemy is really the virus here and not each other.
What a great line. That's how true. Have you had any, as you do this over the course of the last year, Nicole, just in your district, Park Hill, outside of Kansas City, or inside Kansas City, I should say, what has changed? Has there been a change in internal communications as well as external? What has been the big sea change over the last 2 years, both internal and external?
I would say that the big change is just the pace of information.
How
we communicate is not change. It is how often we have something that's really important that people need to know. Things are changing constantly, and we will spend a week getting together, our response to the latest issue facing us in this pandemic, and then find out at 3 p.m. on a Friday that there was a announcement from a government official saying, actually, no, we're going this other way, and scrap it all, and we need to come up with a different answer within 10 minutes. So it really, it's just about the pace that we're all working to make sure that we have the information that people need out to them.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. Barb, what are you hearing nationally on all this, all these things Nicole's talking about?
Well, I think what we're hearing and what we're starting to see is a lot of school leaders are leaving their jobs. I think there was a great article in Newsweek last week, I believe, that superintendents are leaving their jobs in droves.
In droves, yeah.
Mm-hmm, because they just are – It's become unmanageable. Both the virus, as Nicole aptly pointed out, the virus itself, and trying to combat that in our districts, but along with these all these multitude of views about how to deal with it, whether it's isolating, quarantining, vaccinating, masking, social distancing, and it varies from community to community. And so what we're seeing is an exodus of school leaders, superintendents, and principals. We're seeing principals also reacting to that pressure, and who can blame them? And so I think when we look a couple of years down the road, we really need to ask ourselves who's going to be in those positions, who are going to be the leaders.
I ask myself all the time. Who's going to be in education? Okay, that to me is very scary, because even before this, teacher cohorts were dropping, okay, in the colleges of education, okay, and now, you know, with all the craziness that you see, I keep using that word, okay, it just makes it harder and harder to get people to go into the profession, and if that's the case, then what do we do for public education, all right, which is something we've never faced before. And, you know, it's interesting. Nicole said with the state of Missouri, okay, to me, you can use one physics teacher in Missouri, this is an exaggeration, with technology, one or two physics teachers can almost cover 10 districts, because we can give 10 districts access to their teaching, all right? But if we're not allowed to do virtual, okay, that's going to be a real situation, because we're not going to find that physics teacher in a small town in Missouri, okay, or any other state. I'm just using that. It's just, you know, we got to be careful what we do here. You know, we're too reactionary politically, if I mean. I don't mean that right wing or left wing. I just mean that we are reactionary about it. We got to think it through to the end. Okay? It's real. There's some real repercussions coming down the pike. We got to get that word out. What do you think, Barb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think we need to start putting some solutions in place to start healing communities and fighting this virus together. And I think, you know, Nicole hit it on the head that the pace of the information and decisions and the constant change is really wearing people down. And so public education has to be the bridge to bridge those divides.
Mm-hmm. I would hope it's just brutal out there. You know, it really is. Let me ask you this, Nicole. Away from the pandemic and all the controversy, all right, well, just pure educationally, what's the big story out there? That's something really positive that we can get out to parents and the community, I mean, as a whole, so they support the schools. Well, what are the mm-hmm. what's, and Barb, I'll ask you the same question on a national basis, but Nicole, just to get out the good news, to spread the gospel, as we like to say, what would you pick?
Well, I think that, you know, I can't entirely divorce myself from what's going on right now, but one of the things that we've learned during this pandemic is that people have realized all of the essential roles that education plays in their lives. They've understood how essential our teachers are and how irreplaceable they are, because they've had the opportunity to try to do some of that at home with their kids and realizing what really hard work that is and what incredible training it requires. They have realized that, you know, we're not a babysitting organization, but we are dependent on to help support the economy. So being really aware of the effect that these things have, not just on our kids and their families, but on the whole entire community when our schools get impacted. It's shown people just how valuable education and educators are to their communities. And mm-hmm. I hope that people will remember that as they go forward, because these, you know, the people who are leaving can't, their experience can't
That's right.
be replaced, and so we need them.
That's right. And, you know, your point reminds me of that joke that was at the beginning of the pandemic, that after 2 months of having your kid at home, parents suddenly realized that the challenge, maybe it wasn't the teacher that was the problem. Okay? And we have to recognize that. It is just hard. But you make a good point. We have to swing public opinion to make sure that they understand what you just said. And I think deep down they do, okay, that educators mm-hmm. are essential. We can't start screaming and yelling at everybody. We have to mm-hmm. just get this done and work for the good of the kids. And I know there's a lot of controversy on both sides, but there isn't a parent out there who's not screaming and yelling. They're screaming and yelling because they care about their kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's, you know, it's whichever side they're on. I'm not making excuses for either side. All right?
Right.
What do you see, Barb? What's your favorite good news story, Barb, this year?
My favorite good news story is I'm going to look ahead, and I'm going to predict that the pandemic is going to end this year. We're going to morph into an endemic, so COVID will always be with us. And we will begin to manage it as any other childhood disease.
Yeah.
Kids will be lined up to be vaccinated along with their other childhood disease vaccinations.
Exactly.
And we're going to turn a page. And we're going to hopefully the pendulum will swing a little bit toward moderation in terms of how we are treating each other with some greater compassion and empathy. And I hope we will be all better off for going through this crisis.
Yeah, and we will be. And I'll tell you, and I've said this a million times about the folks in NSPRA, it's one of the more important positions, especially these days, okay, in a school district. And too many school districts, I think I had the number before, was like there's like a little over 12,000 school districts, okay? But very few of them, too few, okay, have a professional communicator. What's that percentage? 20% have a professional?
Probably.
Probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, 20%. Yet in this day and age, if you want to talk about your school district or the good thing they're doing and move people in the right direction, you have to communicate properly. You need a professional for that. It is not a lightweight job, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And the school districts have to understand that, okay? Or they need to do something to hire the right people that get the message across the way they want to get it. It's not a throwaway job. I cannot emphasize that enough. And if we haven't learned that this year, we never will.
Yep.
Okay?
I fully agree with you. Yes. Yeah,
you know,
100%.
Thank you. Yeah, everybody's got to yell and scream about that. It's a mistake school districts have made, and we've got to make sure that it's not the job of the assistant superintendent in charge of curriculum instruction and phys ed. Okay, that person's busy enough. Okay, and they're not professionals in this. You need the right person, right, Nicole?
Amen.
Thank you. That's my soapbox for today.
Wonderful.
You guys are different. I'm going to look up and find out what's going on in Spotsylvania County, Virginia. I didn't know about this before, Barb.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oy, as we like to say. What a mess.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It just never ends. And, Nicole, you take good care of all your friends when they visit Casey Mo. None of that veggie
Will
stuff. You've got to get out of that right now. Forget your arteries and veins. They don't matter that much.
Okay.
Okay, I'm telling you. The blood will flow, even with the Stroud's chicken fried steak. Okay?
Sounds good.
Yeah, because my wife, I have to tell you this, my wife is the kind of person who I would take the Stroud's and she would order the light salad with oil and vinegar. I can't bear up under that. Okay? So, all right? So, whatever you do, have fun with the folks. Both of you, thanks a million. You guys take care.
Thank you so much.
Please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
Bye. Nicole Kirby, which is great, Director of Communication Services for Park Hill School District in KC Mo, and also the new president of NSP, or the president, I should say, of NSPRA. Okay. And Barb Hunter, Executive Director, NSPRA.org. I said enough. You guys get it. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Hey, this is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Have a good one and stay safe. Stay well.